Surprised by Grace, Commentary for the October 11th, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient, Hebrews 11 verse 31. One of the biggest difficulties we have in understanding God's character and our own character in interaction with God is a tendency to focus on obedience over faith. We continue to believe that we can chart a course that will allow us to earn righteousness and salvation. We do this despite Paul's assertion in his epistle to the Romans that we are all sinners in Romans 3 verses 12 and 23. He allows no wiggle room here, and we are not only guilty of sin, but of the vilest sins. He enumerated some of the worst sins at the end of Romans chapter 1, and lest we look down on those who commit them, he adds at the beginning of chapter 2, "You who pass judgment do the same things," in Romans 2 verse 1. We might be tempted to think that the Apostle Paul, emissary to the Gentiles, would exemplify obedience. But he says of himself, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Romans 7 verses 18 and 19. Paul tried to achieve perfection, bringing the matter to God. "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9. In that knowledge, Paul was able to proclaim, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." Romans 8 verses 1 and 2. For those who might be tempted to quibble over obedience to the law, over faith in Christ, we only need examine our Savior's teachings. For example, in the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25 verses 31 through 46, the people are divided into two classes, the saved and the lost. Based on obedience and veneration of God's law, we might expect we would find Sabbath keepers among the sheep and murderers, adulterers and thieves among the goats. But none of those qualifications are mentioned by Jesus in the parable. Caring for the most basic needs of others seems to be the key to the gates of heaven. How can this be when it has been hammered into us for generations that the Sabbath keepers are the chosen and saved remnant? Even if that somehow plays into it, it calls into question whether we really understand what the Sabbath is about. Is this another one of those times where Jesus is saying, "You have heard it said, but"? But this did not begin with Jesus. Plenty of examples are in the Old Testament. The Canaanites were to be annihilated by the Israelites. "However, in the cities of the nations the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, do not leave alive anything that breathes. Completely destroy them, the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, as the Lord your God has commanded you." Deuteronomy 20, verses 16 and 17. Obedience demands that all should be killed, but an early exception is made for Rahab in Jericho, because she helped the Israelite spies. We might expect that she must be an ancient equivalent to a modern saint like Mother Teresa, a chaste nun, serving others while in perfect obedience to dogma. Nothing would be further from the truth. Not only was Rahab one of the Canaanites despised by Israel, but she was also one of the lowest and most despised of those even among her own people. She sold herself sexually. She was a prostitute. Considering the fuss made in churches today over those who dress even remotely in an overtly sexual fashion. I doubt any of our modern Christians would welcome her into their social circles. More likely, she would be at best the subject of never-ending gossip, and at worst, completely shunned by those who tend to look down on publicans and such, as in Luke 8, verses 9 through 14. Instead, Rahab is not only saved from the death sentence passed on the Canaanites, but she also even marries Salmon, a descendant of Judah, a prominent patriarch. She and her husband have a child named Boaz, who also figures importantly in the line of descendants who gave us Jesus. We sometimes joke about our own family trees and find pirates or other rapscallions hiding in the boughs and among the leaves. In contrast, we might expect Jesus to come from the purest line of forebears, but such is not the case. The patriarch Judah liked to visit prostitutes and even had sex with his daughter-in-law Tamar, thinking she was a prostitute looking for customers, according to Genesis 38. Rahab was not the first to be referred to as a prostitute in Christ's lineage. And later, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to deal with spurious allegations surrounding his birth, according to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. If those were not enough blots on Christ's lineage, next came the question of Rahab's son, Boaz, who married Ruth, a Moabitess. While it is true that Moabites were not among the inhabitants of Canaan commanded to be exterminated, they were still banned. No Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, not even in the 10th generation, for they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt. And they hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor in Aram Naharaim, to pronounce a curse on you, according to Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 and 4. Not only was she allowed to marry Boaz, but only 3 generations later, her descendant was not just one of the assembly of the Lord. He was their ruler, King David. And Jesus was often referred to as the son of David. But we are not done yet, for Jesus was descended from David and Bathsheba, a woman taken by David in an adulterous affair and married into the royal line after David had her husband murdered. After all of this, it seems strange that one of the primary accusations against Jesus was that he associated with sinners, even eating with them. This was considered evidence that he could not be the perfect Messiah that all were expecting. How could God favor such a flawed individual with a conquering power to defeat the Romans and usher in a messianic age for Jerusalem? People have funny ideas about what are necessary qualifications to save us all from ourselves and bring us to paradise. They tend to look for those who hate the same people they do, and are reluctant to point out the sins committed by their own crowd of followers. In return, those followers grant a sycophantic pass for the sins of those they would have lead them. It has been like this from the days of Nimrod to the present. It is little wonder, therefore, that we can find no one without sin, for we all are hiding something that we would rather not have see the light of day. Strangely, despite that, some among us go about proclaiming perfection as possible and urge obedience to a dogmatic standard as evidence of that perfection. But it is possible to observe the letter of the law and still miss the mark of perfection. The wealthy young man assured Jesus that he faithfully observed all the law until Jesus revealed that the law is not the standard. The basis of the law, love, is a standard. Once we understand that, we can see that no one is without sin, for at times we have all placed self over love. Most often we do this out of fear that we will lose something if we relate to others from love instead of a quid pro quo that ensures that we gain as much as we give, if not more. One thing Jesus was well versed in was the Old Testament. It was the scripture of his day. And he understood that the harshness found there was because of the hardness of people's hearts. He revered the prophets and quoted them as he tried to steer people aright regarding this harshness. Interestingly, those prophets were laden with sins, just like the rest of us. God used them in mighty ways, and their words continued to be powerful witnesses to us still. But Jonah fled from the Lord. Elijah fled from Jezebel after the amazing Mount Carmel experience. Habakkuk struggled with doubts over how God could allow evil to exist. Samuel was faithful, but his children were so corrupt that the Israelites demanded a king to lead them instead. Isaiah was a faithful prophet, but he told King Hezekiah he was going to die. When Hezekiah prayed for healing, God sent the prophet back to tell the king that God had heard his prayer and he would live for 15 more years. However, those extra years allowed Hezekiah to father Manasseh, one of the evilest kings to rule in Jerusalem, filling the city with blood from one end to the other. The lesson we need to understand is from Tamar to Bathsheba, Rahab to Ruth, Jonah to Elijah. God does not call us because we are perfect. He calls us because we go. Despite our flaws, he loves us enough to call us anyway. And once we learn to love like he does, we will find ourselves among the sheep and not the goats. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find links to other articles by the author, as well as books written by the author, available through Amazon. Once again, that website is www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.